Hello. This is a podcast called The Battle for the Spirit of America. I am both Josiah David, and I have been Dennis Lee as well. So this is a podcast relating to the story of Josiah David and Dennis Lee. I'm an inventor, Christian, and a veteran of the Vietnam era. When I started this journey, I had no idea what one with a better mousetrap would have to endure to try to get it to the people that he made it for. It has been a real education that I wish to share with the people that are unaware of what this costs all of us. For over 40 years of doing what God instructed me to do, I have struggled to get past self-interest groups who control enterprise for America through blatant and somewhat obvious abuse of the so-called system. Americans only get whatever the self-interest provide, with as little actual competition as possible, unless they want a particular advancement for their own purposes. The abuse that I have endured because I refuse to be denied the rights that I have fought for and to do the task that my God has set in front of me has been unbelievable. The fact that I, not for lack of attempts, have not been killed, which I attribute also to my God, is also incredible. There's no good reason for any form of pollution or energy dependence to exist, or pretty much anything else that the politicals say they want to change and then beat the brains out of anyone who tries to change. The control over what is available to consumers in the United States is astounding, as is the lengths that some will go to keep it that way. But there is a God, and he is my strength. If people really want it, nothing is impossible to God. I will begin these hundreds of true episodes of my struggle to make life better for all of us with the most controversial subject my opponents can use to try to twist your mind into thinking I am the bad guy. The reason for my delivering this podcast is that I have recently used my ability to follow the many revelations my God provided to me to develop a method to solve the healthcare problems for the working class of America without a need for a socialist healthcare provision, and God's plan can fully restore Social Security and Medicare to a strong fiscal condition at the same time. So we can solve the problems with the healthcare system for employers and employees in America, and we can restore Social Security, all without any cost to the United States government or the American taxpayer. I will not be denied the right to finally deliver something of great value to my countrymen by the gatekeepers of consumer goods who use their positions of influence to deceive the good people of this nation. They compete through proportionately tiny payoffs to traders while they cost the people a fortune in lost advancements. The truth is, I have a lot to be proud of, and my detractors have a lot to be ashamed of. 40 years of going out of my way to obey all laws and rules to make changes, and the only thing our opposition ever achieved with their mischief was 1 year in prison for me 30 years ago, and they were not even able to legitimately convict me of the civil code violation that put me there. I fight back. If God says go, we do not pull back. With all of their many false and clever accusations to make me look bad, this is all they got, over 40 years of fighting me tooth and nail. that and also stopping any support for the advancements for America and your interests. But this podcast will show you what their dirty tricks cost you as a citizen of this country. This journey will be eye-opening as I present the full story of amazing technologies with the true facts and prove the evil doings of very greedy money changers, hypocrites, and worse. I have all the documents and videos to prove our story. You will be shocked to discover what I fought to advance and what amazing technologies were suppressed by greedy self-interests that hold America behind. Do not let them use their deception to hold me back again. So you can finally get something of great value out of my walk with God. The story is a true nonfiction adventure. And I wish that you will enjoy the ride. I want to just share with you kind of a list of some of the technologies, and it's not even a comprehensive list. Some of the technologies that I have tried to advance in America against massive odds to stop me. First of all, it has been determined that you cannot have a perpetual motion machine. And people have tried to claim that I'm saying that I have a perpetual motion machine, or have been saying that I had a perpetual motion machine. Actually, you could have a perpetual motion machine. Your car engine is basically a perpetual motion machine if you keep gas in it all the time. Perpetual motion, the myth of perpetual motion is that you can't have any motion without some sort of form of energy. And that, by the way, actually I've found to be right. However, you can have free energy. Free energy is not perpetual motion. Free energy is an energy source that costs nothing. So if you have an energy source that costs you nothing, like the wind or the sun, you can have free energy. Whether you have perpetual motion or not is another issue. Energy that comes from nowhere or nothing or no energy source. I haven't found that one. But free energy, absolutely. Energy that comes from a source of energy that doesn't cost anything. Let me give you some of the things that I have discovered. But first, before I do that, I would like to let you know that I know 14 ways to make free energy. And if I can make free energy, I can make free electricity, free mechanical energy, any other form of energy. So there are 14 ways that I'm aware of to make free energy. Actually, if I thought about it, I could probably find some more. Now, isn't it interesting that your university knows four ways to make free energy? Four ways. I know, I guess, 10 more than they know. It's kind of interesting to me, and has always been interesting to me, that I, as a person who never really had a science course in college, had some in high school, but never had any in college, and no advanced mathematics courses, that I would know 10 more ways to make free energy than your university does. And I think that the whole reason why I do is because they don't want to know the ones that I know. That's a major control mechanism, by the way, for advancement of civilization, universities. I'll be getting into all of that over the various podcasts that we do. But let me give you the four ways to make free energy that the university knows about. Solar, wind, geothermal, and actually the tides of the ocean, the waves of the ocean. Now, I know one that's really advanced on the waves of the ocean. It doesn't involve trillions of dollars or billions of dollars to build big wave generators. It's actually a small little unit that is a buoy that sits on the ocean and bobs up and down as the waves come along. That bobbing up and down wave motion actually can generate electricity. And, of course, if you had a little bobber that you could set on the ocean and you, well, not little, it's maybe 10 feet in diameter, but you can make them smaller than that. That wave of the ocean could actually generate mechanical energy and could actually produce electricity. Kind of interesting. You could have a little bobber sitting on the ocean that bobs up and down and produces fresh water, desalinates seawater. That'd be something kind of nice to have out there for people who get stranded out on the ocean, wouldn't you say? So a lot of the technologies that are not being advanced are technologies that have tremendous value. But I digress. Let's go back to the 10 other ways that I know to make free energy. And I'll kind of lay some of them out for you, but this is an introduction. I'm going to be getting into detail on all of these technologies as we go along, telling you the story of what it takes to actually develop or bring forth something and why so many things are not being brought forth. The 10 units to make free energy that the universities don't want to know about. The first one, low temperature phase change, one of the best kept secrets in America. The value of low temperature phase change. Refrigeration. The guy who actually developed refrigeration back in the days of huge ice cubes, the guy who actually developed refrigeration went to prison for 7 years because they proved it was impossible to do. How did they prove that? They got a university professor to say it's impossible to do that. That's it. He goes to prison for 7 years, actually came out of prison, and the big money people were very excited about talking to him. When he came out of prison, just like when I came out of my little stint in prison, the first thing that a billionaire did was meet with him. It's one of the first things that happened to me. And he's like, talked him into actually making refrigeration units for shipping livestock from South America. And they were like, hey, you could take livestock, kill them in South America, and ship them to Spain, and they would be as fresh as if they had just been killed as they got off the freighter, the shipper, this big clipper ship. He created a refrigeration system for that. They shipped the stock there. And, of course, it didn't take long for the billionaires to take advantage of him, and he wound up dying penniless in the streets of New York, by the way. But I digress again. But it is not a thing that is only relating to somebody, to any one person. And I guess these guys would say that the things that they do against inventors, there's nothing personal. They really aren't. don't have any personal grudge against the inventor or anything. And you know what? As an inventor that's been through a tremendous amount of persecution, I can tell you that that doesn't make an inventor feel any better. But low temperature phase change, refrigeration. Now, I developed the most efficient heat pump that's ever been built by anybody in the history of the United States or the world. It is a heat pump that actually works in sun, wind, rain, snow, sleet, and hail 24 hours a day or night, 365 days and nights a year, anywhere in the United States of America. Well, I guess that would be better than a heat pump that they're selling you right now. That has an average operating efficiency, a COP, coefficient of performance, of 2-to-1, average. The good old heat pump in America. The heat pump that I developed has an average coefficient of performance of 6-to-1. And it functions 24 hours a day and night. Does not go into a defrost cycle whenever it freezes over, because it doesn't freeze over. Well, it freezes over, but doesn't matter, doesn't destroy the surface. So the convective surface is continually there. In all climate conditions and weather, and anything that is warmer than 40 below zero is going to put its heat into it. So there you go. Well, America, I guess, would include Alaska, and some places in Alaska, we would not get as great an efficiency by far. But once again, I digress. That low temperature phase change unit, actually under ideal conditions, which is not sunshine. Sunshine's ideal, but a large wind in a reasonably warm day or night can be just as good. When you max a system out, you max the system out. Mine maxes out at 12-to-1. Am I saying one unit of electricity in to get 12 BTUs of heat out? Yes. Yes, that's what that means. So you'll learn all about it. You're going to get all kinds of other information about that as we go along in our incredible journey. But that is one where we actually discovered that we could run various engines on the low temperature heat, I mean relatively low, 200-300 degrees, and we get out of our heat pump, and we could indeed produce electricity as long as we had a condenser, which any lake will do, that's fine. So that'd be free energy with condensing. So low temperature phase change has a lot of different uses. But we also developed the most efficient engine, heat engine, that the world has ever seen, to my knowledge. Maybe there's something far greater sitting in someone's basement that's having his brains beat out right now. But the world's most efficient heat engine, a hydraulic engine. And here's something I'm going to tell you that everybody listening knows is impossible. But then, you know, you can find out that we did it, because evidently, since we go with God, things that are impossible, we can do. Defy laws of physics? No, I don't know of any laws of physics I've ever defied. Laws of physics. Produce free energy? Yes, absolutely. Lots of different ways. Semantics, my friend, semantics. Anyway, so The low-temperature phase change one way, hydraulic engine. This hydraulic engine, you're going to tell me I'm crazy, but I will be able to prove this to you with videos, shot from inside the engine running. The engine is the only engine that runs on gas in, liquid out. Actually, the gas that goes into the engine is liquefied in the work cycle. So you're going to say that's incredible and that's crazy and you can't do that. But I can, you can't. Okay. Another form of free energy is momentum. There's an amazing thing that I discovered about momentum. All momentum is not alike. Anyway, that's another form of energy, permanent magnets. Well, I know you can get energy out of a permanent magnet. You can come in and you can lift a car with it. But, you know, you can't let go. It doesn't let go. And the reason why it doesn't let go is everybody says that you could make electricity if you had a permanent magnet, if you could block a magnetic field. But we all know that it's impossible to block a magnetic field. Well, we don't all know it's impossible to block a magnetic field. The universities know it's impossible to block a magnetic field. I actually do block a magnetic field, can block a magnetic field, and have proven it on stages across America many, many, many times. So I have a bar magnet that is magnetic, not on all six sides, it's magnetic on five sides. The fifth side, it is not magnetic because I blocked the magnetic field. I demonstrate that pretty much all the time. Have won a debate with one guy with it, but nobody else will debate me since I did that. So, permanent magnets. If you can block a magnetic field, you can use permanent magnets to actually produce electricity or mechanical energy. Neutrino energy. Electrons. Yes, indeed, a neutrino bar that has different elements. Two bars sticking up, you can stick a light bulb on them, and it'll light. There's no power sources, not plugged into anything at all. Two bars sticking up. One bar has a different amount of elements in it, and the other bar does. And it causes a transfer of electrons. Neutrino energy. Gravitational, we built a device called the GravTap. You'll see it. You'll see things and you can watch videos of it running. And the GravTap actually taps into the gravitational forces of the universe, not the gravitational forces of the Earth. Yes, the Earth is in the universe, and Earth's gravitational forces have a particular set of rules. But this one taps into the gravitational forces of the universe. Also, convection, a convection engine to make mechanical energy. And that, not like a convection heater, but not totally unlike a convection heater, actually. And it will actually power a truck. So you can power a truck going down the highway from the energy you suck out of the wind as you go down the road. The faster you go, the more you get. Anyway, trains, it'll work with trains too, anything that has a nice surface, outside surface. And also, we can do this with a thing called the tornado engine. I built a tornado engine. You can look at the tornado engine. I still own the tornado engine and have the tornado engine. And the tornado engine actually creates the forces of a tornado within an engine. In the way that it does it, the engine actually can be exploiting a lot of very interesting things about the nature of tornadoes. And that one produces enough power to run a big, huge 16-wheeler. That one can do that, and it does it with using water. So it starts on a little bit of gas, but it actually converts into running on water. Water's the power source. And another one, biomass. I met with an individual on behalf of a president of the United States who came to my research facility to check it out. Wanted me to make some free electricity for them, as if they wanted free electricity. And he kept talking to me about biomass. And I got tired of hearing it, so I finally just said, you know something, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to show you biomass, because you have no idea what biomass is. Corn a haul, out there and making corn a haul so that you can save pennies in energy and do some other things that aren't so nice. Biomass. Well, actually, that engine, which we ran, a Chevy Vega engine, that engine actually produces a power to run a car. You have to make a conversion to a different type of carburetor. Can't use the carburetors today, so you have to use like a propane carburetor. So that's one modification you have to make to the engine. But we use a plasma reactor to produce gas out of any biomass. Turn corn or bird seed, McDonald's French fries, whatever you got handy, any type of biomass. And you can turn it into a gas, which is very much like propane. And run your engine and you're fine. All on, well, just stop your engine, grab some weeds outside, grind them up in a grinder and keep on going. So you're going to say all of that's crazy and that I'm crazy. And it's okay, I am crazy. I'm definitely different than most people. But I am a believer in what God has put out there and in fully understanding and exploiting the resources that God has abundantly made available to us. And yes, I know, it's far better if you can just control the oil and the fossil fuels in the ground, and then you can just be the seller of a life-giving force so that you can go make a ton of money. I get it. I understand economically what the situation is that some people would prefer. But also have an engine that runs on implosion, not explosions, implosions. And that's a very, very, very unique gas. I'll be talking to you about that gas, where it comes from and how unbelievably abundant that it is. Anyway, we also did have, and I guess I'm up to my quota of 14 ways, but we have the thing called the pre-ignition catalytic converter. Our cars have catalytic converters. They put them there. You know why? The reason why they put converters on cars is the fuel that isn't burned in the engine, we burn it underneath our car. We use the heat to actually burn the unburned fuel in our catalytic converter. So we thought, boy, that's kind of stupid. You put the stuff into your engine, it doesn't fully burn. Then you take a device underneath your car and you burn the stuff that didn't burn so it doesn't hit the environment in the kind of level that would cause as much damage. It still is toxic. But when it comes out of the car, but it's not as bad. We've eliminated major hydrocarbon pollution with our catalytic converter. But why do we want to do that? We want to do that because we want to burn the fuel. And we can't burn the fuel in any engine that's made now. We can't burn the fuel thoroughly and absolutely. But if we could, we would be selling a whole lot less fuel if we could burn it completely. So not so sure anybody wants to burn it completely, just kind of like eliminate or lower the pollution down a little bit, call it a day. So what we do is we take our computers in our car and we set those computers so that we can kind of burn enough of the fuel to make everybody happy. And then we burn the rest of it underneath the car in the catalytic converter so that we try to keep the environment a little less damaged than it would have been otherwise. Well, I developed a thing called the pre-ignition catalytic converter. Now, when I say I develop, I'm a researcher and I do come up with ideas with things, but I also do have people working with me who are very, very smart. Or I did have people working with me that are very, very, very smart. So it's a research project and it's a research lab. And in my research, we developed the PICC, the pre-ignition catalytic converter. Well, that is just like the name says. Why don't we convert the fuel before it hits the engine so that we can thoroughly burn the fuel? Golly, pretty stupid idea, huh? Why wouldn't we want to burn it underneath the car and just throw it away? Why would we want to precondition the fuel so that it did burn perfectly in the engine and we don't need an exhaust pipe? I mean, we can need an exhaust pipe because we got to get rid of the pressure, but we don't need it for any other reason, because you can breathe with your own lungs the fuel coming out of an engine that has the hydroassist fuel cell in it, for instance. Breathe it. You can breathe the fuel coming out of an engine that we demonstrate in national tours. We demonstrated. And the fuel was pickle juice, ketchup, soy sauce, whatever you got handy. Water. Water's fine. Water's great. Water's one of the best fuels you can get. So anyway, you could just actually breathe the exhaust coming out of the engine. I run engines and sit there and breathe the exhaust out of them. I did that for years and for decades. Anyway, welcome to the world that I live in instead of the world that you live in, but I tried to change that and make it to where we were all living in the world that I live in. I think it'd be a better world. Anyway, the PICC, to just round that out, actually what it does is it actually refines the fuel under the car. It refines the fuel in a converter under the car that uses the heat from the engine, and it actually refines the fuel so that all the hydrocarbons in gasoline, which, by the way, can produce all kinds of things, ethane, methane, octane, propane. I mean, so it was like we would just take crude oil from the ground, separate the sand out of it, and use it under your car to actually produce the fuel that you want and run it. You can have a propane carburetor, etc. Crazy, 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 crazy cuckoo ideas. Water gas is amazing. Water gas is unbelievable. Water, it turns out water is the best gas. What are you talking about? Water gas? Come on. Water, H2O? I mean, it's two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Water is a gas. You mean steam. No, I don't mean steam. Steam is one state of water. Liquid is one state of water. Solid is one state of water. And then there's water gas, not steam. It's where you separate the hydrogen and the oxygen, and you make them, because what is oxygen? It's a gas. What is hydrogen? It's a gas. And then you combine them back together again in gaseous state. Instead of HHO, it's HOH. Just rearrange the molecules a little bit. You do it through electrolysis. And there you go. You got water gas. But everybody says, you can't put these two explosive gases together. Sure. Are you kidding me? God made that, H2O. In a gaseous form, it is stable. And so as long as you got to have the right mixture, you got to have two to one. Well, make sure you put it in something that it doesn't get out of it doesn't escape. You don't want some of the one or the other to escape. You change the mixture. And yes, you can turn water to water gas. Well, why in the world would you want to do that? Because it burns way more efficiently than gasoline. Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? It burns more efficiently than gasoline. Yes, there's research studies from universities that you've never seen, that no one's ever seen, that they don't teach. But students have done it in universities, gotten the data, and then it's just kind of like we all forget about that data. Burns way faster than gasoline. Way faster. And much, much, much more thoroughly. Anyway, I've actually been involved in developing the most efficient heat pump that was ever built. And I've talked to you about that already. And it's a solar heat pump, and it takes energy out of the sun, wind, rain, snow, sleet, or hail 24 hours a day and night, 365 days and nights a year. In a walk-in freezer, we were demonstrating it at a 2-to-1 efficiency at 20 below zero. So, anyhow, we also built the most efficient generator that has ever been built, because it actually, you can replace the coils on that generator while it's running. No reason to shut it down. Just let it keep on running. It'll run all the time, and then if it pops a coil, then you just pop that one out and pop another one back in. Don't even have to shut it down to repair it. 50 horsepower motor, electric motor, 50 horsepower, 6 inches in diameter, 10 inches long. Ah, what? I can pick it up with one hand, backhand. Well, what? 50 horsepower. Yeah. Yes, sir. You can see videos of everything I'm talking about running, doing things. Well, not everything, but most things. Some things we did not want to demonstrate and didn't, for purposes, reasons of, you know, trying to get around the gendarmes and having everybody that would run out and try to arrest you if you did something too crazy. So like I said, also the tornado engine, the most efficient hydraulic motor ever built. Most efficient hydraulic motor ever built. Actually, it would produce free energy because it actually would take the pressure from particular substances that are made into gas, and it actually changes the pressure and the volume. That's what hydraulics is. Anyway, a closed-loop car engine cycle. Ran that in a stadium in front of a full of a packed stadium of people. Chrysler engine sitting there running on in a closed loop. There is no exhaust. Oh gosh. I mean, we must be witches? I don't know what they would think we are. But we also had a little motorcycle. It was the most polluting thing on the planet, little Chinese motorcycle. And we ran that closed loop. Actually, there was a president who had another guy come because he wanted to bring a guy smarter than the first guy. And I had to have something unique to show him, so I let him sit on top of a motorcycle that was running closed loop. One of the most polluting devices on the planet, and it's running closed loop. What does closed loop mean? There's no exhaust. It's just recycling everything back into the engine. And it's sitting there running on the gas from the exhaust, going back in and getting it burned and burned and burned and burned until it's all burned up. That boy got on that engine, that motorcycle, and ran it up a hill. It didn't sound like it had much power because there was no exhaust. You couldn't drive somebody crazy with that. It sounded kind of wimpish until you hit the accelerator. Then you got convinced. His eyeballs were like the size of baseballs. He's like, "Good God, man, do you know what this is worth?" I said, "Yeah, please get off my motorcycle. I know exactly what it's worth." Did anything come of any of that, even though people from high places came in and saw it? Usually you get another attempt to kill you or something. You're going to get a lot of those, too. You're going to learn a lot of stories about those things. It's not that, like I said, it's not for want of trying. And then, you know, we got the adiabatic bicoannular reactor. What in the world would that be? Oh, something that burns garbage thoroughly with no smoke? Yep, burns garbage thoroughly without smoke. And all you get at the end of it is some ashes that you take out and you put on your flowers. What garbage? Any garbage. Whatever your garbage is. Low-cost plastic housing. Two-bedroom, 2,000-square-foot place for about $12,000. You can build for about $12,000. You can't burn it down. It's less combustible than your brick home. Now, I don't know. Do you think that maybe the world would have been better off with the things that Dennis Lee was trying to do? I mean, I went on, and I, at that time, was called Dennis Lee. My father named me that. You're going to get us one of these episodes right early in this thing, because that's one of the two things that they used to try to make me sound like I'm a bad guy. He changed his name. Okay, you'll get the story of how that all came about. He was in prison. Yeah. 30 years ago for a year, a little over a year, it was actually 14 months in prison. I spent a year in jail waiting for a trial, which all the criminal charges against me were dismissed, and then they had a little civil code thing there that they threw me in prison for violating and didn't even perfect that. But whatever, I'll let you hear that story. That's going to be the next episode. These two are going to be the first two episodes, because I just want people to kind of get the idea that, okay, hey, I have lots and lots of proof of everything that I say. I keep every document about myself and about things that happened, and documents to prove that I advertised in full-page magazines. I ran an ad one time in a full-page magazine calling the Attorney General for the state a criminal. So I've had a colorful background, and I hope you're going to enjoy this series, and you'll be looking forward to hearing more and more and more of these series. Just because I want you to know the world you live in. Well, it's nothing like the next world anyway, but anyway, come and see for yourself. Burn water hot to cut through steel. We can cut steel. We don't need acetylene to cut steel. We can do it with water. What? I don't mean water in water form. I mean water in water gas form. You can transmutate the nucleus of an atom to neutralize radioactive waste. We went around trying to talk all of these guys that were burying nuclear waste in the ground until we finally figured out that the reason they wanted to bury it and store it is because they can use it to make atom bombs with. They don't want to neutralize the radioactive material. Somebody say, well, you can't transmute the nucleus of an atom. I had a scientist once say that to me. His veins were all popped out in his neck. You can't transmutate the nucleus of an atom. I'm like, isn't that interesting? Chickens do it every time they lay an egg. Anyway, interesting stuff. Now, I'm not telling you that anything I have, that I have anything, that I'm building anything, that I'm selling anything, that I'm going to sell anything or do anything with anything that I've done, other than just try to tell you the true story of what actually happened. And I'll have to talk about everything in a manner that is true. And I will do that. Talk about it in a way that is true, and I'll give you the evidence of it. I'll make all of that available to you. And every show that I did, I used fuel consisting of equal parts pickle juice, soda pop, water, sugar. fuel in your crude oil, gas, soy sauce, even human urine. I used to do that. I used to say, and that's Ricky juice there. My assistant's name was Ricky. Anyway, and then we would turn the engine on. We're putting all these things in. This is the fuel. And then we turn this little two horsepower engine on, and boom, it would start up. And, yeah, there was exhaust, but there was no smoke or anything. And basically, I'd put my face down there and breathe it and go, okay, hello, I'm breathing the exhaust out of this engine. That was kind of interesting. We did that at every show that we did. Went on 7 national tours, by the way. You may or may have been at one of them, or you may not have been at one of them. If you were, then you already know who I am. Car engines could be modified to run on 80% water and 20% gas. We show you that. Got an engine. We got 20% gas, 80% water, and it sits there and runs until the whole entire thing comes out. All of the water and gas combination came out. Car engine could be modified to run on that. And so, anyway, it's just a sample of the technology. It said in this ad, I ran a full-page ad in Newsweek magazine. I've done a lot of crazy things like that. Discover the solutions to America's most pressing energy, economic, and environmental problems and find out why you may never have to pay another energy bill again. Come to the show. Witness things with your own eyes. This is just a sample of the technology that you will experience. Come to our free tour show and see how you can make money helping us save the environment. People, including skeptics and scientific community, are welcome and encouraged to attend and bring their own testing instruments to verify our claims. I would let people come up on stage and measure the input and output of devices. Why not? Anyone coming to test will need a 3-phase cumulative watt meter that measures power factor. I mean, if you're bringing those and you got 20 people up on the stage and they're all saying, yeah, input and output are exactly right. I guess kind of hard to put that down, isn't it? But it wasn't hard for them. They would just try to keep people from coming to the shows. I mean, I would go to cities and be ready to do a show, and then I'd be watching myself on television at the news, where the sheriff is coming and saying, this is not proper, and you don't want to come to that show because this cannot be done. We've talked to 3 scientists that say it's impossible to do these things, and this is a fraud. This is a scam. That's interesting. I would then get my clothes on, get my shoes on, take a nice shower, get dressed, and then go down and do the show, and no sheriff came to arrest me or anything. They saw enough of it to tell everybody not to go, but they didn't think enough of it to come and arrest the perpetrator. These are ridiculous things that are so obvious. Anyway, 50 tour shows I did on this particular magazine. I announced 50 tour shows, one in every state of the United States. Encourage your state politicians and scientists to be responsible and attend. I'd have a university professor to say, you can't make perpetual motion, and get into this, you know, this all this passion about you got energy input, you got to have an input of energy to have an output of energy, and all this other stuff, as if anybody ever said that you didn't. Actually, I'm not going to say it. But anyway, so then they'd come down and be all passionate about, you know, don't go to the show. And then I'd be calling out at the show, be like, is Professor so-and-so here tonight? Because, I mean, you're telling everybody not to come to this show. Surely you're here tonight with your instruments to measure the input and output of all these devices. And if you'd like, we'll extend the show for another hour and we'll have a debate. Well, Professor so-and-so didn't show up. I did shows on college campuses of the professor who came and said something like that about me. And I challenged him to walk across the campus and just come to a show on his own campus, and they wouldn't show up. There's this guy, this Professor Parks, and he was out here on a major talk show and saying this guy, or news show, and he's saying this guy can't break the laws of physics. He breaks a lot of laws, but he doesn't break the laws of physics. Like, I agree with him 100%. I never broke a law of physics that I'm aware of. I never broke the other one either. But, you know, so anyway, this is going to be a ride. This is going to be an interesting journey. And you're going to be able to get the ability to find out the truth about what is really happening relating to energy and relating to all these passionate people out here acting like, you know, Democrats and Republicans, both ends of the aisle, acting like they want to solve the energy crisis. They don't want to solve the energy crisis. They want to sell fuel and oil. They're not stupid. These are some of the most powerful people in the world, the people that do these fossil fuels, that own and control them. Now, I want you to understand, I am an American, and what is good for America, I believe in, and I believe it should happen. And there are people who realize that whoever controls the fossil fuels has a major advantage in war. And do we need to be able to protect our country and protect freedom throughout the world? Yes, we do. And anybody in government that is doing the things that they do because they are trying to maintain the balance of power, I'm not against any of that. I'm not against that. And, you know, but it'd be kind of nice if we just, you know, kind of got off the bandwagon about pollution. There's no reason why there is any pollution other than we want to burn fossil fuels. That's it. We want to use fossil fuels. So anyway, get educated. Get not educated. I'm not going to educate you, but I'm going to inform you. Get informed of what did happen over the last 40 years in America. I started out like you. Some of you know. Some of you are more enlightened than me. But I started out like some of you, pretty much ignorant of what's actually going on and what one has to do to change the world. It's not for the faint of heart. It's a thing that is very, very difficult to do. And it helps if you have a relationship with God, because God can protect you from all of this stuff, which he did me. I had a long run of this thing and did a lot of things, but I always was listening to what God was telling me to do to be able to continue to do the things that I was doing. So, you know, don't leave on a mission like this and leave God behind. That's the most important ally you can find. And it doesn't hurt if he tells you to do it, which was my case. And you'll get the story of that, the Christian story of when God told me to do this and how and what went on and all the miracles, because I have seen lots and lots and lots of miracles with God. So if you believe there is no God and there's no miracles, hang on. Especially if you're a scientist and you like to hear about technologies, endure all of this in order to get to science. You got to learn a little something about God as well. Okay? It'll be good for you. And I'm not saying anybody's right way is right or anybody's way is wrong or anything. Whatever you believe and however you are with that, that's your business. Anyway, I appreciate you having the interest to learn about things like this, and I appreciate you being involved and getting informed about the truth, about what's going on, in not in America. This is happening in every country of the world. This isn't about America. It isn't about, gosh, we've got a corrupt system. You pick a country, they got a corrupt system. Pick a country, any country you want. They do things even worse than anybody in America does. It's not about that. It's just just about what we actually could have, and there are people who are abusing, who are rich, who have plenty of money to pay people to abuse power. And there are people who are willing for fame, fortune, or money to abuse power. And anybody that thinks there aren't, you haven't lived long enough, and you need to get out more. You need to go out and find out what people are like. Anyway, that's my little speech and my introduction. So let the frivolities begin. We will start with episode number one, and then number two, I guess, the introduction's episode one. Episode number two and episode number three, they're in the can now, and I'll keep putting these in the can every week, and you guys can come in and listen to some more stuff. Okay? And if you say, boy, that's crazy as Hootie Owl, and nobody can do what he just said, I think you need to come back. It's kind of like the guys who said I couldn't do something, and they didn't even come to see what I was doing. I couldn't do something, and they wouldn't even come to have me explain to them how I do it, which I always thought was pretty revealing of what their true motives were. Okay, anyway, I'll turn it over to you. Have a great time. Enjoy.